So here's a question for the takeaway Twitter feed this morning. If the entire world was begging you personally to take money at the lowest interest rates in decades to save the world economy, could you find a way to say yes? Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post a comment at thetakeaway.org. That's where we stand this morning. Last night, John Boehner, Speaker of the House, and President Obama went before the American people to talk candidly to all of us in a heartfelt set of speeches about how they can't make a deal on the debt ceiling. And they also sort of reminded us just how worrisome failure to reaching a deal by August 2nd would actually be for the global economy and the U.S. economy. A wide-ranging discussion all morning on what this means in sort of small economic terms and also sort of big, you know, what's going on in the American democracy terms. We begin with Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Good morning, Todd.
Hey, good morning, John.
Let's start with, I mean, yesterday we were saying, all right, there are going to be two competing plans. So that's what we were talking about yesterday morning. By the end of the day, we had the plans, but then we have two competing characters. Describe the scene in Washington, D.C. last night.
We've had those two competing characters the whole time. Those two competing plans, one from Speaker John Boehner and one from Majority Leader Harry Reid over in the Senate, were on the table all day yesterday, and everybody's scurrying around to see who has the votes and who's going to go first in this game of chess. But then the chess masters last night in prime time decide that they're going to come out and try to get the rest of the country on their side. It was really a political moment, pure and simple, because it's hard to imagine that they moved any votes. There's so much head counting and sort of brinksmanship going on in the Hill that neither of those two men were talking to any members of Congress. They were talking directly to the American people. And it was striking how sort of removed from the actual deal making the rhetoric really was. The president appealed directly to Americans. He said, if you want real compromise, if you want your leaders to make a deal and get the job done, call your member of Congress, urging Americans to actually call their members of Congress. And I tried to call the Capitol switchboard after the speech. It rang busy for a couple of hours. So people were doing it.
People were definitely responding.
Well, yeah,
that, you know, that's
right.
What's so curious here, appealing to the American people on an issue that it really a couple of months ago was extraordinarily arcane. Let's get a feel for some of that rhetoric. We're going to play a long cut from President Obama, and you'll sort of understand why it's kind of hard to cut. So we're going to play it long, and then we're going to play a couple of shorter cuts from John Boehner, Speaker of the House. Here's the president.
Congress now has 1 week left to act, and there's still a path forward. The Senate has introduced a plan to avoid default, which makes a down payment on deficit reduction and ensures that we don't have to go through this again in 6 months. I think that's a much better approach, although serious deficit reduction would still require us to tackle the tough challenges of entitlement and tax reform. Either way, I've told leaders of both parties that they must come up with a fair compromise in the next few days that can pass both houses of Congress, and a compromise that I can sign.
All right. So, Congress, you have your assignment, is the president's tone there. Here's Speaker of the House, John Boehner.
This debate isn't about President Obama and House Republicans. It isn't about Congress and the White House. It's about what's standing between the American people and the future we seek for ourselves and our families.
So Kathleen Hall Jamison joins us now, who evaluates presidential rhetoric for us often on the program. She's professor of communications and director of the Annenberg Public Policy Center at the University of Pennsylvania. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning.
How would you describe, first of all, the difference in rhetoric between these two men? And it was strikingly different, it seems to me. And just the general sense of, is it reassuring to the American people to have these two leaders stand up and speak on the same night on the same issue?
Well, first, it's clarifying to have two speak. You see the agreement between the two as well as the disagreement. They agree that default is unacceptable. They agree on the deadline we're facing, and they agree on the amount of deficit reduction that's needed. So that's clarifying. You also hear from President Obama an explanation of debt ceiling that explains that it doesn't allow Congress to spend more money. It gives the country the ability to pay for bills that basically it's already made commitments on. So the fact that they are both agreeing about those basic premises provides an educative function. They are, however, differing in important ways substantively. They differ in the desirability of the Republican proposal for a six-month extension. They differ on the desirability of tax increases. They differ on who's being blamed for the breakdown of the talks. They differ in how they characterize the Obama willingness to make cuts. They describe government differently, and they differ in who they think racked up all these bills. So now you see party ideology informing what they're saying has happened. And they also differ in tone. Speaker Boehner's speech is more hard-edged.
And let's listen to Boehner. Here's a sort of rhetorical flourish that's typical of Boehner throughout his career, and I think fairly well characterizes the tone of the speech last night. Here he is.
You know, I've always believed the bigger the government, the smaller the people. And right now, we've got a government so big and so expensive, it's sapping the drive out of our people and keeping our economy from running at full capacity.
Now, Kathleen Hall Jamieson, the bigger the government, the smaller the people. Kind of clever, but it has a sort of Carter-esque quality in that it's very negative. What did you make of it?
It also contrasts with the description that Barack Obama provides. For Barack Obama, we need to get government under control, but government is the thing that creates investments such as education and infrastructure, college loans, Medicare, Medicaid. He's stressing all those things that you tie positively to government. So where one is describing big government as a kind of enemy that needs to be thwarted, the other is describing it as something that needs to be preserved and protected in some important ways. And that's a big difference in philosophy.
I know you don't like to play the horse race game, Kathleen, and we don't want to play winners and losers here, but whose themes have the greatest likelihood to stay with the American people over the next critical week?
I think the Boehner speech potentially alienated independents with its attack on President Obama take action that would affect his political chances of getting reelected, and an attack that belonged in the stump speech, the line about late-night comedians in relationship to the stimulus. So I think potentially there was something counterproductive in that for independents with Speaker Boehner. Overall, with the theme of compromise and balance, I think President Obama probably came out ahead with that critical constituency.
All right, Kathleen Hall Jamieson, thanks so much. As always, Professor of Communications and Director of the Annenberg Public Policy Center at the University of Pennsylvania. Todd, where do we stand today?
Well, there's still lots of brinksmanship going on. Let me give you a glimmer of good news amongst all the not-so-good news. It is well known in the Senate from several senators. Talks between leaders do continue. Behind all this angry rhetoric, some of it angry, John, they're still talking to make sure they have a contingency plan if both of these competing plans should fail. They're still talking because we're told the leaders will not put us towards a default with no plan forward.
So, and if they're talking, that means Todd Zwillick is tweeting. Follow his Twitter feed in Washington. He's the Takeaway Washington correspondent. Thanks, as always, Todd.
Pleasure.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.